The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late. There's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on this Monday, Memorial Day, 25th of May, 2020. Steve Elkins, down in Florida. Hello, Steve. Mute button.
I'm here, John.
There he is.
I'm here.
All right.
There he is.
Friday's program, I had an opportunity to talk to Roger Landry over the weekend, and I said, hey, you need to hear this. You need to hear the program. Did you get a chance to listen to it, Steve? Steve? Where the hell is he? I'm sorry, what?
I said we've had some electrical power outages the last couple of days, and I did not check it out yet.
Okay, no. All right. Well, I first suggested that Roger listen to this video. You know, everybody needs to know who they're dealing with, and I guess the reason why. That's how we put perspective and priority into our lives. And he wrote a Memorial Day. This is his thoughts. He says, many think of Memorial Day as just another day. Some might say, if they are working, yay, I don't have to go to work today, it's a holiday. But for some Memorial Day, it's a great reason to fly the flag, espouse patriotism, fire up the Barbie, and in some cases, remember those who have fought for our country. But unlike another patriotic holiday, Veterans Day, which honors those who have served in uniform, Memorial Day pays tribute specifically to those who have fallen during conflict. Now, while that's an important distinction, there's a distinction that Memorial Day doesn't make. The reason these individuals made the supreme sacrifice? Memorial Day honors the sacrifice made by so many, but not the causes that inspired him, be it ultimately truth or lie, to die for their country. As we gather with the family and friends to celebrate this year, if you're allowed to, there's another thought that is crossing many concerned minds. How far are we away from celebrating a Memorial Day honoring those who died, protecting our constitutional freedoms and unalienable rights? No, not in Syria. No, not in Iraq. No, not in any foreign country. But right here in America, where governors and local officials are now exercising dictatorial powers to force an agenda on we the people. An agenda that will destroy America as we know it and replace it with a global oligarchy hell-bent on enslaving all of humanity. Going forward, depending on our actions today and our pushback against the growing tyranny, Memorial Day may have a meaning that has not yet been realized since the days of the Revolutionary War. If we the people fail to keep America free for us and our children, may God have mercy on our worthless souls. That was his thoughts after listening to my program, Steve.
Interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting.
You know,
I'm sorry I missed that one.
Well,
actually, I'm sorry I missed the other one with the attorney also, because I thought that was going to actually, I kind of predicted that one. I kind of predicted.
Well,
that
I, one. You know, you just never know. I mean, if you're going to predict the outcomes of every action, you're either going to be really elated, or you have low expectations, or you're going to be really disappointed because things have gone wrong more than they've gone right. I've got a kind of sixth sense about this, and I was going to give it a coin toss. You know, that's why I went easy on the guy. I thought, you know, okay, he's an attorney, former law enforcement.
Right.
So, okay, let's start out easy with him, and then I'll throw some zingers in there and see what his response was. Well, he was not a happy camper, Steve, during that show at all. Very guarded. His responses were very short. And then I pissed him off by challenging him on peace officer versus law enforcement. That's just a word. Now, that's coming out of an attorney's mouth. When you know you...
Now, how long was he in law enforcement before he switched over to attorney?
You know, I'm going to say 10 years, something like that.
Okay.
And then he saw the grass was greener by defending those and raking in the bucks to defend his fellow officers against... And to be fair to the officers out there, many officers in this country have been accused of being involved in racist shootings. They have been accused of a lot of different things. But we also have the film physical proof, of which he said you can't make a decision off of 10 or 15 seconds of video. Okay, no. I brought up this. I said, what about shooting suspects in the back as they're running away? And that's when he started to get a little testy. And I, gosh, I've been doing radio a long time, Steve, and I know what to say and not what to say. Sometimes I get a little heated, and something might slip by my lips. But when this guy told me that law enforcement, that's just a word, all kinds of thoughts popped in my head as what I could say to this guy and say, well, don't be offended. It's only a word. You know,
that's right.
If he's a lawyer,
so he never answered the direct question. About a fleeing person shot in the back. He thought that was okay. He didn't answer. I assume. No.
And
okay
we have chronicled many over the years, over the top egregious crimes that's then attempted to be covered up by their superiors or their fellow line officers or whatever the case may be. You know, in this world, you're never wrong, even if you're proven wrong. We can't do anything because that'll shake the faith of the general public in our law enforcement.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't like that answer.
Yeah.
Don't like that answer. As a matter of fact, do you remember the video you played? Oh, God, I'm going to say 8 months to a year ago. The guy in the hotel that was crawling on the floor begging for his life.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my next example.
I would have loved to. I'd love to hear what this new attorney here would say about that. How would he defend that? Would he say that was a really bad shooting?
Steve,
and no, I'm not going to defend this guy, or I'm going to defend him.
That's kind of intuitive because that was going to be my next example after following shooting the guy in the back running away. Everybody had seen that video, and what did they do? They exonerated the guy that actually killed this kid in the hallway of that hotel.
I know.
When they didn't have to.
No.
You know, a gun butt upside the head, anything. A kick in the face. You know, I mean, pick them up, body slam them, you know, break an arm, break a leg, you know, whatever. No. No, we didn't do that. He was unarmed, so we just shot him dead in the hallway of a hotel. Because why? Well, he wasn't exactly following to the letter the instructions given by the armed officers. And Steve, look.
I was very bothered by that. I was very disturbed when I watched that live. I was very disturbed by that, John.
Well, I was as well. And I mean, this has been the problem with law enforcement. We had to set up citizens' committees to overwatch the supposed watchdogs, you know, their internal agency investigations and anything else. So citizens' panels were set up to watch the watchers. And I haven't seen too much positive stuff come out of that. But one thing got me about this lawyer. I made sure that he saw Mr. Anderson from SeaTac Police Department. I made sure he watched that video. You know what his comment was? I said, did you watch that video? His response, Steve, was, yeah, I watched it. And that was it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Which told me exactly what I needed to know. And after that point, I was just itching. I had a trigger finger itching to just drop the hammer on this guy and get him off the air. It's astounding to me. You know, we try to be fair-minded. We try to walk in other people's moccasins to see things from different perspectives and angles. I try to do that all the time. You know, one man's opinion may be another man's, no, that's not my opinion, and here's the reasons why. People may have differing points of view, and I understand and get that. But we're talking about a sugar load full of dead people that didn't have to die. And how the police department itself has been amped and ramped up with the fears, you know, the fear factor. The FBI was in there to make sure that they were pretty much agitated, along with people like Southern Perverted Law and other organizations. They got them to the point where, well, the first instruction, at lineup time here is, oh, y'all make sure you make it home safe. You know, protect yourself. Make sure you're safe. So these guys have taken that to mean an old man with a cane. Oh, I mistook that for a gun, so I had to shoot him.
Right.
Or somebody that it looked like they had something in their hand and they were making a motion toward me, so I had to shoot.
So, John, by the way, did you ever get off in that interview to him ever? The common phrase that is used by most officers, that I feared for my life, and so they simply shoot to kill, when there really was no fear, but it's the perception that they always say, I feared for my life, so I did what I had
to do. Well, I would like to think that it's these willy-nilly, I really shouldn't be in this uniform because I have no guts, I have no courage, I have no honor, and I have no ethics. Yeah, but a lot of these cops, they've been juiced to the point where they're afraid of their own damn shadows. So just to make sure that you get home safe, go ahead and rack it and start pulling the trigger.
Well, it sounds like we have a large population of law enforcement that are very similar to Barney Fife. You know, they gotta shoot. They're itching to shoot that
guy. Yeah, that ain't Barney Fife, because no, they make sure these guys are armed to the teeth. They have automatic weapons. It's not a six shooter with one single round. No,
scary stuff.
Yeah, it is.
It is nowadays.
People, by the way, Steve, people have been wondering when this COVID-19 is going to end. I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. And I'll tell you the reasons why. There are states right now that are going to continue the restrictions on the public until they have a vaccination in hand.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, Steve, but I've seen actions such as in Michigan, militia mobilized to block the arrest of a 77-year-old Michigan barber who refused to shut his business down. I mean, the militia showed up armed. The cops showed up. The militia talked to the cops. The cops talked to the militia. The cops left.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, what's it going to take to trigger something here? Maybe not much. Maybe an overzealous peace officer, maybe misreading a situation or just being a Johnny Six Gun. You know, there's two kinds of cops that are out there in the streets. There's different variations, but mainly the guys that really want to help their community. They really want to keep the streets safe and their neighbors and their friends and all that stuff. And then there's the other guys that just can't wait so they can unholster their weapon and do some damage and do it in a law enforcement way.
Yeah.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, over the years, we've gotten more ex-military guys that, well, if the Middle East didn't bother them, blowing up people over there for no damn good reason, why should it really bother them doing it here?
That's right. I actually predicted that a while back with those returning vets that couldn't turn the switch off. They would be a liability. They'd be a problem in the future. You know, I had a call last night, and I'm trying to remember who it was, but the question was, do I believe that we'll return back to pre-COVID-19? And I said, I don't think so. I don't think so, because the terminology right now they're using is, and they're starting this over and over, it's pretty much around 24/7 logo here, slogan is the new normal. Now, if they're using the term the new normal, guess what? You're not going to return back. And like I said, never let a good crisis go to waste, Rahm Emanuel, among many other people saying that. Crisis brings commerce, and we're going to see changes. We're going to see new legislation, new guidelines, new restrictions, new tracking. This crisis brings opportunity. And whoever is behind this whole hoax, this fraud of COVID-19, is going to rape it. It's going to make as much money as they possibly can. And it's going to take as much control as they can possibly take away from the American people, the rights and freedoms. By July 4th, John, if anybody is still talking about we're a free people, smack them in the head. I swear to God, I will just totally unload on anybody that says we are a free people. If this is still continuing right now till July 4th, I swear I'm going to lose it, because we are going backwards. We are going backwards in time. We are losing our rights, our freedoms, the surveillance on this country, on the people, the 5G, all this technology. They are using it in a very bad way against the American people, no doubt about it.
Well, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California, these Democratic governors. And for you people listening to the program today, what the hell has happened to your Commonwealth? Why are you allowing this? I mean, you guys were around pretty much since the beginning here. Why are you doing this? Well, these Democratic governors, they're flat out saying that a vaccine is required before they return to normal. Kind of like a follow-up what you said. You know, here's the new normal. Well, that's going to be their new normal until they can get the vaccine shot into a bunch of people. And then they might consider lifting whatever and declaring normal. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania said that the state cannot fully return to normal until a foolproof vaccine is available. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said that the state cannot firmly enter the new normal when life will once again return to all of our workplaces, downtowns, and Main Street until there's a proven vaccine. And you expected this from the California governor, Newsom, said the Golden State would not be going back to normal until a vaccine is available. Pennsylvania cannot fully return to normal until a foolproof vaccine is available. That's what he said, Tom Wolf said Wednesday. When asked if the return of large events are contingent on a vaccination, Wolf said Pennsylvanians need to be confident that the novel coronavirus is under control and treatable. He said he believes it will take a vaccine or some assurance. Okay, we went from a vaccine to some assurance that they're not going to get sick. Well, that's a pretty broad spectrum of this is what I'm making up my mind about. To attend big events, go shopping, and return to school. Ultimately, I think it's going to take for everybody to feel safe going to Penn State game or basketball games is that they have some confidence that they're not going to go sick by being in close contact with somebody else. He said, noting that the state is focusing on testing and contact tracing. Oh, boy. I think that's what it's going to take, really, to get our economy back to normal, and I really think that can't happen fully 100% until we have a vaccine that's foolproof. That's my own stance. Based on what, Steve? His ignorance? His stupidity? Jeez, I just...
Well, I'll tell you right now, the virus is replicating. It's changing, just as the regular flu is. I'll take it on the backside.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We are back. Steve, you were saying prior to the break?
Yeah, I was going to say that a consent for a mandatory COVID-19 vaccine will lead to more accepting mandatory vaccines in the future. So the gate is wide open. You are no longer a free man. You are property of the government. They become your master. Now, this whole thing, even creating a COVID-19 vaccine here, let's talk about that a second here. Attempting to create a vaccine for a virus that continues to replicate much the same as the regular flu we see every year, how that's why they can never get a match. But we'll never see a match if it keeps replicating over and over. The vaccine's premise in the past has always been that if you have a vaccine, you would bring exposure, your immune system kicks in, antibodies, you now get immunity in the future. But the new protocol, the new theory, I guess, whatever they're pitching now for the pharmaceutical industry for vaccines is that the new vaccine you may take may not cure you, you may not get immunity, but it'll limit the symptoms for you. They won't be quite as severe. Now, for some reason, I don't know why that's accepted. Because look at MMR and a lot of other vaccines we take. You don't take those every year, every year, every year. That's the point I'm making. If you give consent for the COVID-19 vaccine, guess what? You've given consent for the future for the next one, the next one, the next one. Because they're going to use that against you. They're going to say, go back in time and said, you said yes, you gave approval, you gave acceptance for the COVID-19. Therefore, we have a new mandatory vaccine, by the way, and you must take it. And there's no way you can say you can opt out and say no, because you gave authority approval prior. And we need to say, hey, do we really have an immune system? Is our immune system, is it there? Is it? Can we use it? Do we need to use it? Yes, we need to use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And maybe better ways of living, healthier living would be the way to go. And I've always said that, natural, healthy living. And this whole idea of just pumping your body full of toxins to bring you immunity. But, you know, they're going to do some arm twisting on this one here.
Well, now, if we notice what happened in California, and this is prior to, you know, coronavirus or any damn thing else.
Right.
California was hell-bent on making sure everybody got their vaccines. They start resisting the exempt status, religious, you know, whatever. Right. And for a while, you could get away with that. And then they just said, no, no exceptions. And what was actually going on, Steve, in California is diseases were being reintroduced into a population that had already gotten rid of them.
That's right.
By allowing Mexicans, other than Mexicans, all the illegals you can just about imagine, coming into California and by the state's graces being set up, literally set up, and given money and given driver's licenses and the right to vote and all this other stuff without being U.S. citizens. Try doing that in any other country on this planet, and they would laugh you off the very same. But here we go. Newsom. And here's where this is going, folks. And if you think the next round of flu, they're not going to say, oh, it's COVID-19, it's coming back with a vengeance. We're going to do this thing all over again. They're not done destroying the economy yet.
No, they're not.
Newsom said also that the Golden State would not be going back to normal until a vaccine is available. He says, we're not going back to normal. At a press briefing this month, it's a new normal with adaptations and modifications until we get to immunity and a vaccine. Well, he obviously doesn't understand where the immunity comes from, but that's okay. I don't know what this character is or what he thinks he's representing, but he's in a state now that's begging for federal funds because they've totally destroyed their own state. Totally.
That's right. They did. You're exactly right. And they're going to rely on the states that are open, the red states that have decided to open their doors and start back to work, go back to work. They're going to expect that those people who are working in different states to float that money over to the Fed, and the Fed then will now reward those poor Californians. I'm sorry, I don't want to pick on California, but their government stinks. That's why I left the state. You and I have talked about that. Why I left, I saw the writing on the wall. It was time to leave. I sold my house, got the hell out of there, because I knew anybody who stayed is going to get squeezed for more taxes with the sanctuary and everything else. I mean, we're talking about the dumbest of politics in California. I'm sorry, but it's not a beautiful state.
Oh,
beautiful state.
I'm
destroyed.
I'm so glad I drove California. I could have shortcutted and went out to see my friend out there in Northern California. But I'm glad that I did, because I was astounded how beautiful a state California really is. And I don't know. By the way, on the issue of Trump here, Trump has remained positive about the development of vaccinations, noting staggeringly good test results from coronavirus vaccine from Moderna. He also said this month that he's already involved in a process of mobilizing the military to distribute the vaccines as soon as it's developed, adding that at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly. And unless you're mobilized and ready, we're not going to be able to do it for a long time, so we're starting now. Regardless, though, Trump said the country is moving forward. I just want to make something clear, he said. The president said during a press conference in the Rose Garden last week, it's very important, vaccine or no vaccine, we're back. Now, does that mean Governor Newsom's back, New Jersey's coming back, Pennsylvania-style coming back, or the hell with this, let's reopen the economy and see if we can salvage it?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are back on Lou Rockwell. The economic reopening is a fake out, and we'll get into this as well, because that's what this is, folks. They're playing a little game, carefully reopening to make sure everybody's safe. I mean, this is just total welcome to the USSR. That's the only way I can say it. Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, John. Hello, Steve. You guys talk too much. You made me wait too long. You're getting like Hinkley.
Mm.
You know, he's very erudite, but doesn't want to shut up, you know. But, Steve, got to recommend that when you're going out to a break, you not do so with a comment, "I'll take it on the backside." You probably want to find something a little different than that.
You know, that was funny.
Okay.
He's not laughing, though. You notice?
I understand. I get that. Okay, now, about contact tracing, I would refer you to Googling the song by Tom Lehrer called "I Got It from Agnes." And you might remember it. It's like, "I got it from Agnes. She got it from Jim. She got it," you know. It's sort of from the era of syphilis and gonorrhea. It makes no specific mention in the song of what it is, but it's quite quite amusing. And it's, I swear there was a version of that song that was like, I got it from Sally, who got it from Paul, he got it from so-and-so, who could have got it anywhere at all. And I think that might have been a public service commercial or something about BD. But my point being, these are relatively small numbers of people in this song. And contact tracing, the virologist of Who's On Every Night with Jeff Rentz these days, Henry L. Nyman, I guess his name is. Yeah, he's pointing out contact tracing, it's rather daunting once it's already out there. The whole point of contact tracing is you try and find your patient zero, and you work out from there while the number of contacts is still manageable. This isn't really this type of contact tracing they're talking about now, spending $2.5 billion to hire 100,000 Nazi brown shirts to go around and harass people in their homes. That's just... You know, that's just a control mechanism.
Well, but there is some benefit here, and there is a lure to people that have been done out of a job to be paid $20, $22 an hour to go out there. And I'm sure these people believe that they're doing something of value for the communities in which they live. Yeah.
John, I'm sure they're thoroughly altruistic. Just like the military, the general who would have us believe that all military recruits are highly altruistic going out there to protect their country. That's why they put the recruiting station in the poorest parts of town where the people have no hopes of any jobs.
Now, you notice something that's been done, and I don't think Trump's going to do this because, quite frankly, the signals that he's sending, I have a tendency to sometimes just not listen to the man talk, and then I watch what he does. And he's saying, hey, regardless whether we got a working vaccine or not, we're going to open back up. And I think when he means open back up, and that's dropping all the restrictions. But, having said that, this is a cockamamie thing. They brought in the best of the best that they could find, put on the air of we know what we're doing and talking about, and then leaving it up to a bunch of politicians that have no knowledge about anything else, up to and including their job in governing. Okay, so this is what we need to do. This is the protocols that have been put out. And none of them understand flu cycles, variants, anything else. They don't understand any of this stuff. You and I are better authorities on it than any one of these ass-hat governors.
Well, yeah, and that's what's scary. Like, we've supposedly, a lot of people think that the question of states' rights was settled at the end of the Civil War and that the federal government won, you know, where they're supposed to have a relatively weak federal government.
Yeah.
Our locus of control was supposed to be more at the state and actually more so at the local level.
And look what that brought us. Look what that brought us. That brought us federal courts in every damn state to uphold what? Federal law.
Right.
Yeah.
So the hypocrisy in this is everybody wants to blame Trump for this, but every time he tries to acknowledge state authority and say, well, it's up to the governors, you know, every time he tries to defer, they, on the one hand, they want an omniscient federal government with a king who's going to give them everything they want. On the other hand, they don't want draconian oligarchy. Okay, you can't have it both ways, you know, if you're not going to have responsibility taken at the municipal, county, and state levels, then you're going to have a federal government,
yeah,
you know, with authority you don't want.
Well, and now they're even talking about, remember about the separating children from their mothers, and this had to do with the illegals coming across the border. Now it's the discussion is, should we, this disease cabal, they're recommending separating newborn babies from their mothers because of the COVID-19 crisis, which they manufactured, blew up beyond all recognition of even seminal fact.
Well, if you recall, this is how they started. When mothers had syphilis, when a mother with syphilis would give birth to a baby, that's how they started putting silver nitrate in the eyes of the babies to protect the babies from getting, you know, the syphilis through the mucous membranes of the eye and going blind and such. That the babies weren't, you know, they acted prophylactically to protect the baby. It didn't keep the baby from the mother.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little different in that it's a virus, not a, you know, but... Well, don't tell me they care about babies when they're jabbing them, a baby doesn't have an active immune system. For the first 3 days after birth, the mother's breast milk produces a chemical called colostrum, which jump starts the baby's immune system. 3 days on colostrum, and then the breast milk, and you got a real healthy baby who isn't ready for any vaccines until way down the road. So they're giving jabs to babies who have no active immune system.
Oh, and
so
buddy,
don't tell me you care about the babies.
And buddy boy, they're going to carry so much. They're going to turn them into little baby pincushions. And here, you know, and Steve, look, we there's been no efficacy or safety studies on any of these vaccines. None of them. Because what that would tell the public is we're trying to pin the tail on the moving donkey. And we've always been doing it. And we're going to have to do that in the future. But we can't tell the public that. I mean, we just, you know, you can't get on board a plane.
Well, John, they're playing by a different set of rules here. Now, if you watch your commercials on TV, you see the drugs from pharmaceutical, the commercials, who they're targeting. Always young people, by the way. These diseases now that we used to see with the elderly are now being with the young people. It's amazing that they're just going after a different target audience. But you see after the commercial is over, when they finish pitching their good point, supposedly how it cures doesn't cure, but it takes care of a lot of the symptoms of the disease. Then you have that long, long list that they ramble through real fast of all the adverse reactions, all the problems, and the last and the worst being death, possible death, or even more issues with different systems that you'll have problems. And, of course, you're going to need more pharmaceutical on this and this and this. But they don't do that for the vaccine. They don't do that for the vaccine at all.
No.
They're exempt from any of those liabilities at all. That's why they set up the vaccine court.
Well, and
geez. You're going to get a maximum of $250,000 if you're lucky. If you're lucky. Now, the Supreme Court just came out about 2 weeks ago because they know what's coming down the line with the COVID-19 vaccine. They've given a free pass to the pharmaceutical who produces that COVID-19 vaccine to saying, hey, you're doing the best you can. This is a terrible situation. It's a pandemic. You are clear to go. You will not face any lawsuits if your vaccine causes harm. Wow. Can you imagine that?
Well, and how is that blanket immunity given to somebody that has never put any of their vaccines through any sort of test?
That's right.
To test their statements. It hasn't been done, and it's not going to be done in the future.
Well, it's a Russian roulette vaccine is what it'd be. Yeah.
Well, they got away with this in terms of producer indemnification with the software industry. Mike Guerrero often points out how, you know, if a software company's bug ruins your accounting for your small business, you have no legal recourse. They are, you know, indemnified against that. And
who better than Bill Gates understanding viruses eating up his programs? Did he ever make a vaccination against that? Oh, well, yeah, there were security systems and bot destroyers and warnings when something attacked your computer and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Well, no, he's already used to using the end users as beta testers. He'll put it out there with a problem, and then wait for the reports to come in and see about correcting it later, because that's what they're already doing with the software.
Well, you know, Bill Gates, has anybody noticed this man has aged 20 years in the last 2 months. Anybody noticed that? I think the guy is starting to feel the pressure, and his billionaire buns are out there flapping in the wind.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be the sacrificial billionaire in this deal.
Well, yeah, I think he realized he's just a useful idiot for the old money, you know, old money Luciferians far above his pay grade, you know, who don't show up as the most wealthy people, but who have access to other people's money, and they're more interested in influence than the deception of possession.
Yeah,
and they want to be able to influence things, and he's just a bug on their windshield whenever it needs to be.
All right, Glenn, thank you. I appreciate it.
Gotta go.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Well, the economic reopening is a fake out. Brandon Smith over at Alternative Market says, how does one define an economic reopening? I think most people would say that reopening means that everything goes back to the way it was before the crisis, or at least as close as possible. Most people would also say that a reopening is something that will last. Simply declaring America has reopened while keeping many restrictions in place in certain parts of the country is a bit of a farce. That's to say the least. And reopening with the intention of implementing lockdowns again in a matter of weeks without explaining the situation of the public is a scam of the highest order. For example, states like New York, California, Illinois, New Jersey have extended their lockdowns, with LA's extension remaining ambiguous until after initially declared restrictions for another 3 months. Or as Newsom has put it, until we have a vaccine. Well, don't hold your breath because you're not going to get one. New York's lockdown has been extended to the end of May so far. This is the case in which many U.S. states and cities, while rural areas are mostly open, and this is being called a partial reopening, but it's also, is there a purpose behind the uneven approach? As I predicted in my article, Pandemic and the Economic Collapse, the next 60 days, the restrictions will continue in major U.S. population centers, while rural areas have mostly opened with much fanfare. The end result of this will be a flood of the city dwellers into rural towns looking for relief from the more strict lockdown conditions. In about a month, we should expect new viral clusters in place where there was limited transmission. I suggested that before the 4th of July holiday, state governments and federal government will be talking about new lockdowns using the predictable infection spike as an excuse. This is happening in Northeast China right now. Another resurgence has occurred and 100 million people are now subject to quarantine restrictions. China's reopening is barely 2 weeks old and concerns of infection flare-ups were widespread when the announcement was made. Now the mainstream media seems to be confused. Is China open or locked down? Of course, we may never know how bad the problem is and was in China, as their numbers have been shown to be utterly rigged and suppressed from the beginning. But the point of that phrase, reopening, is meaningless there, just as it will be meaningless here in the U.S. Now this is part of the plan. The farce of reopening does indeed have a purpose. I discussed that in great detail in my article, Waves of Mutilation, Medical Tyranny, and the Cashless Society, published in April. The globalists are clearly the only beneficiaries of this event, with worldwide surveillance states now openly on the table, along with the accelerated shift with digital currency systems. The globalists are either taking advantage of this crisis to push their agenda, or they engineered the virus and caused the crisis to push their agenda. I think it's the latter and not the former. In white papers published by globalists at the Imperial College of London, as well as MIT, the plan is openly admitted. They suggest using waves of economic openings and then lockdowns to control the spread of the virus. The timeline seems to vary, but in general, the models call for 1 month open, 2 months closed cycle. The goal is to deliberately increase infections every couple of months in specific regions of the country, then declare economic shutdown and quarantine measures once the spread reaches a certain level. This is meant to continue until vaccine is developed, which could take years. Now, when the globalists and MIT at MIT say, we're not going back to normal, this is what they mean. Right now, the general public, and at least in some parts of the country, is cheering the reopenings. But what they don't realize is that the reopenings themselves are an illusion. Restrictions are going to remain in place in many states and cities, while they will be lifted and then reinstituted in others. In fact, the situation is going to become much worse over time. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is by design. The next lockdown, whenever it's announced, will be absolutely devastating to the U.S. economy, which is already in a downward spiral. The mitigating factors will be how effective central bank stimulus is at stalling the free fall. Not been effective so far yet, folks, but hey. Other factors include the percentage of small businesses that survived the first lockdown and how many jobs those businesses can bring back to the economy. The first lockdown may be survivable for a large percentage of Americans and businesses. The second lockdown will financially destroy all but the most prepared. And make no mistake, there will be many more lockdowns over the next couple of years. In the meantime, international banks like Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, have seen to it that their small businesses are hit hard by the crisis by funneling bailout money and paycheck loans to their larger clients over the smaller businesses that the money was intended to go to. Of the 300,000 clients of J.P. Morgan that applied for an emergency loan through the government bailout program, only 18,000. Let me repeat that. Out of over 300,000 clients of J.P. Morgan that applied, only 18,000 actually received one. And many of these clients were not small businesses. Now, if the cycle of lockdown continues, small business will be wiped off the map. The elites have rigged the economic game. They control where every dollar of the bailout money goes. And many of their corporations are the only institutions that are equipped to survive the onslaught. Some of these companies will go down, but in the long run, the goal, in my view, is total centralization of production and distribution. Thank you very much. Somebody finally said it. This is central planning. This is exactly what happened during the Great Depression when J.P. Morgan and other banks devoured thousands of small local banks across the country and removed them as competitors from the system. After the Depression, banking was completely centralized into the hands of select few mega companies. Today, they're attempting to erase all localized small business competition to international corporations. Now, taking over the business infrastructure of an entire nation and removing all independent competition is only one incentive for the lockdowns to continue. There is also the process of acclimating the public to the idea that lockdowns are the new normal. While I do see resistance in certain parts of the world, including the U.S., many countries in Asia and Europe have witnessed a rather sheepish response to the idea of medical tyranny. I also see an immense wildfire of unconstitutional legislation and illegal state measures being rolled out in the U.S. while the public is distracted by financial circumstances and the virus threat. And which, by the way, the government's working on both of them, so don't worry. We're just going to keep borrowing into oblivion. Our debt is at such right now, we can't even pay the damn interest on it. But don't worry, we're for the government, and we're here to help. And the other thing we're going to do is take this fake coronavirus thing, and we're going to make a few people rich, but we're going to use that as leverage to destroy you, to butt into every aspect of your life, to make the decision based on faulty information and models, whether to kill you financially or not. Those are my words. Now, this is going to lead to two possible paths, submission or rebellion. Either the majority of the American people will accept the lockdowns as a new fact of everyday life, or they will become so enraged by the destruction of their economy that they will revolt. If the intent is to keep the cycle going until a vaccine is introduced, as elitist publications are asserting, then we have a long, long way to go. And this first lockdown was child's play compared to what comes next. Now, the excuse for the wave model will be that they need to control and slow the spread of the infection over time to avoid overwhelming and medical infrastructure. But this makes very little sense to me at this stage. Perhaps within the first month or two of the pandemic, this was somewhat logical, so that we could gauge the threat of the virus. What we know right now is that the virus is at least three times more deadly than the average annual flu, which is something to be concerned about, but not something we should be destroying our economy over. I don't even know if it's three times. If you take a look, there are people that are lowering their death rates, although the major media is telling you all over 100,000 deaths have happened because of the coronavirus. Yeah, which is absolute poppycock. Now, frankly, there's no logic to the wave model unless the agenda is to destroy the economy. If the goal is to continue infecting the population until everyone has developed immunity or a vaccine is offered, then why not simply remove all the lockdowns permanently and get it over with now? This would result in far less deaths in the long run compared to economic collapse. If the goal is so-called herd immunity, then we can achieve that much faster through viral transmission than waiting years for a vaccine that may or may not work. But the elites don't care about herd immunity. What they care about is control. And folks, I want you to understand this is about control. The vaccine narrative itself is a form of control. You have to wait for the establishment to save you. You have to wait for them to allow the economy to be open, even for a short period of time, so that you can then be allowed to work or run a business. You have to wait for permission to live your normal life. And if the elites get their way, you won't be given permission until you accept immunity passports, tracking apps, and a vaccine. And Steve, I can see the day. Remember the brouhaha that was made about, oh, the New Yorkers going down to Florida and Florida saying, we don't want them?
Yeah.
Well, how about this in the future? How about, you're going to be given the opportunity to get a vaccine. And if you don't, guess what? We can track and trace you through your driver's license. You're not going to be able to travel to Europe unless you can demonstrate you've been.
Well, you know, John, about 2 weeks ago, government already let us know that they've been tracking us. Because when they did the first stage of the open up, they admitted that they had used cell phones in tracking surveillance to say approximately 25 million Americans finally left their homes. They said, we know that through cell phones, GPS on cell phones. So they came back. They're using this technology to track you. You're absolutely correct. Everything you've spoken about here is true, absolutely true. The virus is not the issue. It's control now. It's control. But they had a perfect excuse now.
Yeah.
And the vaccine is part of that control. Because like I said, once you accept that one vaccine, you accept other vaccines, mandatory vaccines. This is just the beginning. And I actually do believe, I seriously do believe that this vaccine is going to interrupt your DNA, your RNA. It is going to bring bad health to a lot of people, and it actually is going to shorten your lifespan. Now, if you go to the Agenda 2030, which was first Agenda 21, now it's Agenda 2030, depopulation is part of Agenda 2030. And, you know, this country is broke. Old people cost them a lot of money. They don't want to pay that money. They've got to bring down the population. They've actually come out and said it in their guidelines. They want this world new population, right around 450 million people for the entire world. So we're talking about a population of 7.9 billion people on the planet. They want to reset it, just like they reset their economy, reset Wall Street. They want to reset the population to around 450 million people for the world. They are starting on the process right now. And as I remember that last Bill Gates interview, that conference he was at, he talked about CO2 rising up, and we are the biggest contributors of CO2 and the planet warming up, which is total bunk. But if people are the problem, he said, we need to bring down the population. He talked about depopulation through vaccines. He is the spearhead behind this vaccine. So people keep that in mind, depopulation. He's behind it. Of course, he's not going to take the vaccine himself. I talked about how they're going to make the appearance that they're going to have the vaccine.
You know,
and I theorize they're going to end up at some military base. They're going to have the media right there. Look, we're getting our vaccine. And they're going to quickly destroy those vials. Those vials will be nothing more than normal saline. You'll get the real thing. They're going to get a saltwater injection, and they're going to destroy the vials.
Now, the government would never
see what they really got.
The government wouldn't lie to us that badly, now, would they? Yeah.
Oh, my God, would they ever.
All right, 800-313-9443. If you fired up the barbecue and you've had your burgers and your steaks, if you could find one under $15, the phones are now open. 800-313-9443.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.